We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into our podcast only version of this Sunday pod. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Alongside me is the full CHGO White Sox crew. We got our trivia champion, Vinny Duber. And our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber.
Over the weekend, Sean, we had a family gathering, kind of a belated holiday gathering at my parents' house. And I'm trivia champion both on and off the show. One trivial pursuit again. It's kind of my only thing that I'm good at.
What's the week? I mean, everyone has a week category though. Cause I mean, you know, you got to make up the pie. What's out of the six categories? What's your weakest link?
I think I share this with everyone where it's, you know, it's the books one, the little, you know, you're one that focuses on the books. The thing is, as time has gone on, you get in some more modern references, and particularly, if you get a comic book question in there, I can knock that one out of the park. So, No category is safe from me, Sean.
Less John Steinbeck, more Stan Lee. I've always struggled with science. You know, I don't understand why we need to bring that in.
My dad's a science teacher, so I got that going too.
There you go.
Usually, so though, I'm playing against him, so it's he's got that one mastered. But certainly, I've inherited some of that as well.
Right, and especially when you're playing Trivial Pursuit, I mean, you know, hopefully you're retaining something. And that's Herb Lawrence.
Hello, and my worst subject is it the brown one? Is that the literature one?
Yeah, they got rid of it. That's purple now, I think. But yeah, it was brown back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, I sucked at that one too.
Yours is brown. Yeah.
Yeah, because I used to play with my girlfriend that they love Trivial Pursuit. That was like the first time I played in high school, and after I was like, wow, this is a thing. And I understand why people enjoy that game and play it with family. It's a very fun time.
Yeah, it's great. There was most recently I played a PS4 version of it, which is, hey, you know, as modern as you can get, folks, and it's still as good. You can follow Herb on Twitter at Ecknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. On today's episode, maybe we'll talk more Trivial Pursuit. I think on Thursday we might try to have to recruit some people in and have an actual game show. Maybe we'll make White Sox Trivial Pursuit. I don't know if there's a science Sox category, though. Maybe. But on today's
episode, everywhere, Sean, we can get the sod father in on that one.
Yeah, maybe. Ooh, sod father. Maybe that's where I could go.
A little
real
horticulture,
real stat casty. I could get all physics on, because physics is science. You know,
it's true.
That's where they come up with all these garbled stat abbreviations of science. But we'll on today's episode, we'll be talking about electronic strike zones coming to the AAA leagues. Why am I host a baseball podcast. We've been hosting a baseball podcast for 10 months. At this point too, I took over Locked On Sox for, you know, I think in December. So it's been at least a year and a month. What, why can I not realize, is it AAA?
Just AAA. Yeah.
Okay. I know what it's called. It's for some reason, it's not rolling off the tongue today.
Everybody understands that. That's like, you're looking at a word. You're like, did I spell that right? And it's like there. and you're looking at it forever is like, yes, this is the there for people and their possessions.
I can't believe it. But yeah, all AAA parks will be using the electronic strike zone in 2023. We'll talk about that report and what it can mean for Major League Baseball. We have arbitration hearings. Ooh, everybody's favorite topic.
We don't have no hearings to be heard of for the White Sox. Yeah,
A lot of agreements. You know, it's a happy times in the South Side on 35th and Shields. We'll give you those numbers that they came to agreement with. And we'll also, talk about the payroll now and what it sits at. And then we'll also talk a little bit more about Liam Hendricks. But let's jump into the automatic strike zone. Buster Olney from ESPN reported back on January 12th that the electronic strike zone will be used in 30 class AAA parks. See, it just it didn't want to say AAA. I don't know. It's class. Just put AAA. I don't know.
This is great.
This is brutal.
Oh, my God.
Parks in 2023, seemingly another significant step towards the implementation of the technology at the big league level. The automatic balls and strike system, commonly referred to as ABS, getting used to that abbreviation, will be deployed in two ways. Half of the AAA games. See, I don't even need to say class AA. Like what? Like just say
no one
half
says the AAA. That. It's AAA.
I'm reading it, and it won't process any other way besides class AAA. Half of the AAA games will be played with all the calls being determined by the electronic strike zone, and the other half will be played with an ABS challenge system similar to that used in professional tennis. If you guys have watched tennis, my favorite park is the Hawkeye technology, where they have the 3D camera and show you whether it was off or on the line. So the 15 parks will use the challenge system. 15 parks will use an automated system that will just basically, the pitch will be thrown, and then from the booth, they will tell the umpire ball or strike, and then he will just make the physical call, but he will not make any judgment calls besides safe or home on plays at the plate. And enforcing other fun ump rules. But what do we make of this report that now all AAA clubs will be using an automated strike zone in 2023?
Two thumbs up. Let's go. Let's get this completely taken care of and get this into Major League Baseball. I don't even need to do the challenge thing. I mean, it's interesting, I guess, but I mean, come on. Ball strike. That's it. Get it right every single time. You do it on TV. They've been doing it on TV for the last decade. They can do it in the actual games, probably with much greater accuracy, because as we all know from watching baseball on TV, those boxes are, you know, not official, certainly, but I mean, it just goes to show you, listen, I think the umpires do a fantastic job, but they're guys, they're humans. And so they're not going to get everything 100% right all of the time. Let's just make the rule where you can get it 100% right all of the time. Then you don't need to have anybody complaining about umps or, you know, that, oh, the team got hosed because of the umpire strike zone. No, you throw the ball in the rectangle and let's go. I'm very much in favor of that. If you can get something right 100% of the time, do it. I know there's been some folks who say, oh, but the human element makes it fun, that kind of thing. There's already enough kind of weird non-standard things about baseball. We can have the strike zone be standardized, so there's less complaining, I think.
I think everybody agrees to have the best system available to get every call as right as it can be. Even this thing will probably have a couple quirks, a couple things are off, because you can't. Eloy Jimenez, I know it's not the major leagues. Eloy Jimenez is 6'5", and Nick Madrigal is like 5'2". I'm exaggerating. He's like 5'9". But what's the strike zone? How do they calibrate that? Every time do they do that? Every guy who bets comes up? Or they get the generic strike zone for every batter? That can't be true. So it sounds great in theory, but in practice, we're going to see it. That's why they're doing it, I think, both ways to see, okay, which one of these would be more beneficial for us moving forward. I would say in the future, you would have a challenge one that would be much more pleasant to everybody. You still have the human element behind the plate of the umpire giving his actual physical call. And then if a batter or pitcher wants to challenge a call, I don't know how many you would get. I wouldn't hope a lot, maybe two per game. You get to challenge a call to change the strike or ball call. So I think it's good that they're trying out things in AAA. And I hope it gets adapted pretty soon, like in the major leagues. Once they see one of them works better than the other one, or an amalgamation of the two, go with it.
Well, and to your point about batting stances, I did, in reading up about this, basically it's the, not Hawkeye, because now I'm thinking of the tennis one, TrackMan data, and they have three different cameras, and this was back when, you know, they were testing this in 2019. They had three different cameras pointed at home plate, created the box, right, that we see on TV, and then had the batting stances of each player before the season. And, you know, then the box was created off of their height and, you know, where they're bending their knees and everything. Now, obviously, you know, they'll need more live data, because what if a guy starts bending his knees more during the season? You know, Luis Robert started opening up his legs more. What if someone is changing their stance to, you know, really put more weight in their legs? You know, that obviously is going to need to be something that is tested and tweaked. But, you know, that was 3 years ago. I think that they're obviously making these changes, and with MLB data, they should be able to have, you know, live data to have the best possible strike zone.
But why even go that far? Why does it matter what the batter's stance is? I mean, I I'm just talking theoretically, right? Because, like, obviously you're not gonna have the same strike zone for Aaron Judge as you do Jose Altuve, but make the batter hit the ball in the box. You know what I mean? Like, why? It's like, oh, well, now I'm crouched 2/3 of an inch more. Now you need to change the strike zone. No, go up there. You know where the strike zone is. Go up there and hit the ball as if it's painted on the air. That's what makes sense to me. And again, you can adjust for height. You know, obviously there is wildly different physical statures between amongst Major League Baseball players. But, you know, if you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to bend, everybody else cater to me because I need to bend over a little bit more to hit better. No, learn how to hit better with the ball in the box.
I love that thing, take. Like, that's a great take.
And it's a good take. And I agree with Vinny, but like, these are humans who are controlling the system, right? Because if the number two hitter comes up and he's 5'10", and the number three hitter comes up and he's 6'7", and who's changing this? Is this a person changing this? How do we know that it's accurate while he's changing it to the right person with the strike zone type of thing?
I hope everyone's doing their job. I'd assume they'd be, just like the umpire, a third party hired by the MLB. Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried that they'd be.
You would hope so.
Cooking the books.
Not even doing it on purpose.
Why would they be cooking the books? They got a job to do.
Not even doing it on purpose. I'm just saying, like, mess up. You know, I was on the board all the time for the score. I wasn't trying to mess up anytime.
I messed up a lot. But be honest. I saw you a couple times.
I was strictly doing it too. Well, when I was late in my Cubs career, I was definitely doing. When I first got hired by Mitch, I wanted to follow his rules to a T, so I didn't get fired. After a while, I was like, "Nah, f that."
The first year, I mean, 2024, if they implement it, I mean, the strike zone and all that stuff should be perfectly fine because the person's going to be on it. It's year, 2034 that they might be slipping up, and Aaron Judge will be getting a Jose Altuve strike zone. But you did have a question, like, when will this be implemented? We did see the pitch clock be implemented into AAA last year. We saw the pickoff rule be implemented into AAA as well. We saw the shift rule also be implemented into AAA as well. Is it a 1 year thing? Do they test this out for 1 year? Or do they test out both ways, the challenge system and the all balls and strikes are chosen by the ABS, and then they test out that full run for 2024, and then it's coming to MLB in 2025?
I think 2024, you will see automated strike zones in Major League Baseball. When you bring up the whole challenge thing, I think that probably is the one you'll see, because there's a Major League Baseball umpires union, and I'm not quite sure you get them to sign off on having their most high profile job completely 100% taken away from them. That would be my thought, a prediction. You know, I don't know if that's the way it's going to go, but typically they have done these types of things in different leagues all over the place. In fact, I think that's a reason why some of the leagues that were done away with when they restructured minor league baseball were actually kept as those affiliated leagues, just because they want to be able to test this stuff out. And, you know, we've been hearing about robot strike zones for a long time, robot umps for a long time. They've done this in leagues across the country that just weren't official minor league baseball leagues. Now they're like, all right, we've seen enough, put it in a AAA. We'll do one full, very close-eyed test of it, and then it'll be in Major League Baseball the next year. I think by 2024, this time next year, we'll be talking about robot umps coming to the big leagues.
Can we please have embodied robot umps? please, just like a person behind there, R2-D2, whoever.
Get Walt Disney Imagineering on this. Get an audio animatronic umpire at every stadium. Just pops up out of the ground behind home plate.
It'll be so great. I'm like, I get it. There, people are losing jobs. And that's sad. You can add those left and right field line jobs to the umpires during the regular season so they don't lose too many jobs. Just give me a robot ump. Oh, my God. That would be so much better. Just, I mean, more for my entertainment. That's all.
Be hilarious. Absolutely.
I mean, hey, if they're going to be calling the calls, and I just think back to Lester, God rest his soul, Gus Grobstein would literally thought there was going to be like a Rosie from the Jetsons behind home plate saying, strike one. That's a ball.
They should.
Now I think about it. Les was on to something.
Les was on to something. I mean, that man was a genius. What I'm excited for is that I have a reference, and now it won't actually download, which I'm frustrated with. I have a reference to an umpire robot that you guys don't get. I have a reference to make you guys feel
cool.
I guess,
thanks old. For explaining. This will be great to explain, right? This over Isn't an audio this medium. Yeah.
Do you guys remember? Oh no, now it's a background. I can't. Make
oh yeah, of course,
now.
Clanky.
Oh, no. Oh, you do? You know Clanky? Okay,
yeah,
hell
I know
yeah.
Clanky.
No.
Come on,
oh, hell yeah, backyard baseball.
You're acting like Vinny's my age. Vinny's like in between us.
Well, I'm glad that Vinny has something. You know, Vinny has this with me. You know, good. Me and Vinny could talk about backyard baseball. And Mr. Clanky, the automatic strike zone when we were young. This is the guy that they should put behind home plate. They already have their C3PO of baseball. It's Mr. Clanky.
That's a good call, Mr. Clanky. Robot umps. You need to make sure you blast that picture out on Twitter when you promote this episode.
Okay.
And batters are not included into Mr. Clanky. We have to put him in every once in a while. Triple D's.
Yeah. What? Battery's not included. Not you need to run down to the CVS and get some Duracells.
Are these the one that you could put between your tongue?
9 volts.
Those are 9 volts. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why my memory is so off because I was doing.
Don't
all those
do
nine
that.
Volts.
Anyone listening at home? That's a terrible idea.
I
don't
was.
Only lick dumb batteries. People do that. Only dumb people do it. Kids, don't do it.
So like let's. I think you bring up a good point about the umpire union, Vinny. And let's talk a little bit about this challenge system. So it will be basically the umpires making the calls, strike ball. And what will happen is each team will be allowed 3 challenges per game, with teams retaining challenges in case they are proved correct. So, you know, if you challenge that was a ball, it was and the umpire calls it a strike and you get the challenge correct, you'll retain those challenges. The MLB's intention is to use the data and feedback from both systems over the full slate to inform fewer choices. And then this is also in Buster's piece. The Class A South League adopted the challenge system in which the plate umpires called balls and strikes, but the batter and pitcher and catcher each had the power to challenge the decision on a particular pitch. As one official noted, this seemed to foster another layer of in-game strategy, with managers and coaches, staffs guiding players on the best manner to use these challenges, avoiding frivolous calls and challenges, protecting them from, a guy just getting pissed off at the first call being a ball or strike.
Do not under any circumstances give that challenge power to the players, because how many times have we seen, be it Javi Baez or some other major leaguer slide into second base, you're out. No. Oh, challenge. Come on. You got to do this. And like 90% of the time, the coaching staff's just like, no, we're not challenging that. but oh my God, if you were to give that power to major leaguers, every time a call goes against them, Yep. Challenge that
you
one. That one's done.
Point.
You'd have your three challenges would be gone by the end of the second inning.
But yeah, I think it's an interesting way of strategy. Hey, people are upset the shift's going, so why not have this challenge system? Because also too, this is from Twinkie Town, an SB Nation blog for the Twins. Sorry, I'm going to Minnehota here, but per ump scorecards, everyone's favorite Twitter account, 2022 sets the record for lowest percentage of games where the overall accuracy was under 90%. It set the hot record for highest percentage of games where the overall accuracy equaled 95% or higher, and the lowest percent of games where the overall favor was plus one to a certain team. The games that were 90% or below reached 5.6%. Back in 2015, it was 40.2%. So obviously this technology has just been able to help the humans learn and grow as well. The 95 plus percentile stat in 2015, that was at 4.2%. 2022, it's at 31.5%. Last year, it was at 28.2%. So even a 3% growth, they are getting better. And then also, you know, just they're getting younger too. You know, there is some overturn recently. And then also for overall favor, the overall favor one run plus to a different team. In 2015, it was at 14.3%. In 2021, it was at 8%. And this year, it's at 7.6%. So it's getting closer. The umps are becoming less of a difference. So that's why I do think the challenge system is probably their best route, because you don't have to deal with the union. It's just for the improvement of the game. You know, the coaches get to have something else they get to do. They get to go on the little phone and make a little call to their little guy. And, you know, I think it's fun. And if it's only three challenges and, you know, if you get rewarded for getting it right, I think that's a good number to start at.
Well, I'll say this. You know, for the first thing I want people to know from what you were just saying is, hey, look, the umpires are pretty good. The umps do a fine job. It is obviously part of being a fan to complain about the umpires all the time. Sean, Herb, you guys do it all the time during the year.
Right.
And so I get it. It's just part of the experience. Here's what I would say. And again, you know, I'm a very pro-union man myself, but if we can get to 100%, why not do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are we saying like, oh, well, hey, 95% of it, you got 95% of it right. Well, the technology exists to get 100. So just get 100. And Herb, like you said, I thought that was a really good idea. Go ahead and put the guys down the lines, you know, for every single game of the year. Not only are you, you know, you get to keep the guy at home plate because you got to make calls at the plate. Mm-hmm. You got to do all sorts of other stuff. There's going to be a whole lot of people enforcing pitch clocks all year long in Major League Baseball this year. Go ahead and put two more of them down there. You just created 30 more jobs a day in Major League Baseball for the umpires. Yeah, I think, Sean, what you said with the challenge thing, it's not the best way to go. It's probably the most realistic way that things are going to end up getting done. But I would just like to see 100% of the calls right every game. That would be nice.
No, that's not a bad point you make. Yeah. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, these are professionals, and we know they're humans at the same time, so they won't be 100%. As long as it doesn't look like they're trying to be the game, like so many umpires in the past have, I think most people would be like, hey, this is fine. But like Vinny said, if there's a way you can get close to 100, if not 100%, there's no reason not to try it. And I see this, and I don't know if you're going to be saying this next, Sean, but I see these umpires retiring and a mass exodus this year. And I don't know if this is because they know that new rules are coming or they're all just came together. It's like, oh, let's just retire, because there's seven crew chiefs retiring, just done. Like Tom Hallion, Ted Barrett, Jerry Mills, Greg Gibson, Jim Reynolds, Bill Welke, and Sam Hellbrook are all gone, not coming back. And maybe they're thinking, man, I don't want to have to deal with this, that, or the other. I put in my time. I got my pension. I'm ghost. Type of thing. And I hope these young cats, and it seems like the Pat Holbergs of the world, take over and kind of, you don't know his name because he's such a professional. There's no necessary issue with this guy because he doesn't have an ego. He's usually on his calls, either balls or strikes, and he moves forward. And we don't know umps for the most part anymore because the calls are accurate, either with this challenge system or with the AI that we're, or the whatever they're calling the tennis system that they're going to maybe implement.
And Herb, you brought up the guy who just called a perfect game in the World Series. You know, remember how big of a deal that was? Oh my God, he didn't miss a call the whole game. Well, what if that was just every game?
This guy did something a computer can do with no effort. A computer can just do it. Like, it was made to do it. Pat Hoberg, you know, maybe he's the real Mr. Clanky. But yeah, I mean, he would do better if someone was just telling him ball or strike. No, it's a fair point. But I did find Jesse Rogers back in December reporting on the 10 umps retiring. Some of the retirements are due to nagging injuries, while others are coincidental, as a group of the umpires entered the league around the same time after a labor dispute saw 22 former umpires resign at the end of the last century. So it just seems like time. It doesn't have to do with any of the upcoming rule changes, nor the possibility of automatic balls and strike system being instituted in the near future. And the league will just promote 10 new umpires. So no, I don't think there's anything controversial there. I think you know, I think umpires are there for the good of the game. Also, too, this was mentioned in Buster's piece, but catchers are going to have to do less. If umpires have to do less, catchers have to do less. Like, Yasmani Grandal is a great framer, but he can't really throw or do anything else really behind there. But if his only job was then to throw, would he be able to improve that? Or even better of a question, Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber was a catcher in the college days, but, you know, his arm wasn't that good. He wasn't super quick. He wasn't the best framer. But if all he has to do is just go sit back there and receive, Kyle Schwarber can move to catcher. You know, well, this is I'm just trying to be.
Let's put it this way. I think you're looking at the bright side of that argument, right? Which is like, oh, Yaz has all this extra time to practice all this stuff and he'll get much better. I think the question becomes, if your main attribute is that you're a good framer, do you get paid right. as much, or do you have a job anymore? There are so many of these guys who get particularly backup jobs, right? Because they're so adept at handling a pitching staff, which means getting those guys to throw strikes. If what that catcher is doing is resulting in a trick of a strike, right? And if they're framing to convince the human eye behind home plate that was a strike, and you don't have to do, and that's not a thing anymore, do they go to somebody else? Do they say, all right, we're going to get the guy who can hit 250
right.
as opposed to you hitting 210 but being a really good framer?
My point more was, does it turn into a designated hitter position, basically? Like, I mean,
I don't know if it's that much. You're still going to need to throw guys out. You're still going to need to not have a bunch of wild pitches or pass balls. And you're still going to have to call a game, right? Because you're trying to get guys out. You're not trying to necessarily just get the robot to light up a certain, color of light. So I think very much almost all of the attributes of being a catcher will remain, but that one framing, which of course became very en vogue for people to follow over the last decade or so, it just goes out the window. It doesn't exist anymore. There's no such thing as framing, because the machine is going to tell you with 100% accuracy whether it was a ball or a strike.
And that too, framing also has gotten better. So that's probably helped umpires as well get better.
Or make umpires make worse calls, like, you know, how these good framers do, like, they come from the bottom and lift up a low strike to be a ball that was clearly a strike, or clearly a ball to be a strike. So I kind of like that nonsense will go away, because it gives an unfair advantage to great framers. And yes, we have a supposed great framer in Yasmani Grandal, but I just want balls to be called balls and strikes to be called strikes. That's all I want. And I'm sure that's what the players want. They just want a defined line. This is the strike zone. We're going to call balls, balls, strikes, strikes. And everybody's like, all right, cool. We're on a fair, even playing field, because you know, these humans have feelings about these players. You see, after they stop playing, they go on things like, oh man, this guy did this. I love that guy. That guy was so great. Or that guy yelled at me for every time. I didn't like him too much. You don't think those emotions go through a professional umpire's mind, like a Joe West, like an Andrew Hernandez? Those more unprofessional umpires, in my estimation, kind of use their emotions to rule the call. And so instead of all that, have a guy back there who's just relaying the call from the computer, or giving his best call. And then if somebody wants to challenge that, I don't think any competent umpire would be like, why are you challenging my call? Because for the most part, they're going to be borderline calls anyways. And if somebody disagrees with your borderline call, I think any profession would be like, hey, I can see why you disagree, because it went against you. I'll accept your challenge, type of thing. And they'll be, hey, I want to be made better. And if it goes against me, fine. I want things to be right. I think any umpire who gets into the business wants to be the arbiter that they started as, not the guy who's just an egomaniac.
Herb, you raise your voice about a ball or a strike call right now, you get thrown out of the game. You're not allowed to do that. And guess what? This eliminates that altogether. I know people, you know, listen, we always talk about this being an entertainment product, and there are people who like to see, old guys in baseball pants screaming at somebody else. But listen, we don't need that. They're at work. Mm. Take it easy. Calm down. This, you don't need to, you can't argue balls and strikes, because it's right. That right there, that's right. There's no question. There's no borderline call. It's just, it is or it isn't. And you go, okay, that's it. Good job.
Hey, I don't think you're remembering the former White Sox slogan. What was it? Like, it's passion, passion and pride, or pride and passion. You know, I mean, this is, you know, you got to play with a little bit of edge. You know, you got to run out there and protect your boys.
You think someone's going to go up and start screaming at the robot? Is somebody going to get in Mr. Clanky's face?
Mr. Clanky could want, I think he used to box. I think there was a soccer boxing one too. So I think he had a little robot windmill he could do. Umpire school could be a little bit less serious now. You don't have to worry about balls and strikes. It's just about getting plays at the plate right. Maybe they get more of a diffuser. You know, we don't want to see these guys get ejected. We don't want to see these people getting mad and yelling at each other. What if you get like Jim Gaffigan out there to start telling some jokes, make people laugh, you know, forget about the bad call, because there wasn't a bad call. The robot just fixed it. And, you know, you're wearing funny pants. You know,
I wonder this, though, if you kick dirt on to Mr. Clanky, does he shut down briefly? Do they need to go clean that out of there? Take the cartridge out, blow on it, and then slam it back in.
I don't think this is surprising, but I was on TikTok, and this fact is not surprising. I don't think it's surprising that I was on TikTok, but it's also probably not surprising that I saw that Chuck E. Cheese still runs, or there is still a system at Chuck E. Cheese where they still send their stores floppy disks to run the band. So they got a 2022, 2023 floppy disk, put it in the computer, and it took like 23 minutes to just boot the computer up. And then he had to put two different DVDs in to actually get the band going.
They still have the band at Chuck E. Cheese? That seems like something modern children would not find entertaining. I mean, I loved it. I was a kid, but yeah.
I thought it was terrifying. Yeah.
The Rock of Fire, whatever explosion band with the big ass gorilla. No, I'm good. It's like, put up the most scariest animal up there and have them have those animatronic eyes and it's looking at you during your sixth birthday.
I don't know if they still have it, but about a year ago, the Logan Arcade over in Logan Square, they have one of those old, I don't think it's a Chuck E. Cheese, but it's, they have an old band and they dressed it up as Rush and made it sing Rush songs.
Hell yeah.
Now that's cool.
Yeah,
go to a concert where that thing is doing different concerts. Yeah, that'd be great. But not that goddamn gorilla.
Do you know what it's called, Vinny?
Do I know what? I mean, I read it at one point. I don't remember. Yeah.
The band, the animatronic band at, what is it? Logan Arcade.
Yeah.
Logan Arcade. The Rush band is called Ruff.
Yes, of course.
Ruff.
Because it's a dog. Yeah, right.
Because it's a dog. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's amazing.
If it's still, I need to go. I need to go to me. If it's still there, I can't waste this opportunity. I need to still go see it.
I just found this Reddit post from 2022.
Way back when in 2022.
10 months ago. Hey, well, that's just saying, you know, 10 months ago, it could be, it could be still there. It could be recent.
It's like right down the street from my house. I should just go check it out.
Go take a jaunt. Go take a jaunt. I'm going to take a quick ad break. You go take a jaunt over to the Logan Arcade and go visit Ruff. We'll see you in a second. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite team. So get fitted in the best sports gear around. Voco has you covered from Soldier Field to the living room. Soldier Field to the front room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leaders in sports merch and collectibles. Foco, F-O-C-O. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life, Foco's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. So check out foco.com, that's F-O-C-O, or click the link in the description below. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. You White Sox fans who love bobbleheads, you can get a new Andrew Benintendi University of Arkansas bobblehead on there and get it for 10% off. Or you could also get the Dallas Keuchel Gold Glove bobblehead. There's you know, some more fan favorites out there like Luis Robert and everything, but you know, who doesn't want a Dallas Keuchel Gold Glove? And hey, we got to let you know about Game Time. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at the concert, right up on the glass when the Seattle Kraken beat the Blackhawks 8-5 and are the only team in NHL or NBA history to have a 7-game road winning streak. You could do that with Game Time. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on historical Blackhawks tickets or even Bulls tickets. As we're recording this, if we wrap this up in, you know, about 15 minutes, we could head over to the United Center and see the Warriors and Bulls play. And we could find the biggest last-minute price drops on Game Time. So it was created by the fans for the fans, guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets to the link in the description. Join over 15 million people people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All your favorite events like arbitration hearings. But the White Sox won't be doing any of that. The White Sox wanted to avoid
that. I don't think
you can
buy tickets to that.
Oh, I would.
Go down behind closed doors, the height of secrecy.
They have Zoom calls at this point, right? I mean, with all the ones that they probably have on days, it's probably like, all right, here, Lucas Giolito has joined. White Sox have joined. Lucas Giolito. And then they both leave. And that's probably an arbitration hearing. I don't know. I've never been to one. But anyways, the White Sox will avoid that. So we did go through this, I think about a month ago or so. We went through the MLB trade rumor projections and looked at where the White Sox might be payroll-wise. And the MLB trade rumors projected the White Sox to have about $22.6 million in arbitration hearings between Lucas Giolito, Dylan Cease, Ronaldo Lopez, Michael Kopech, and Jose Ruiz. And the actual number, $22.7 million. The biggest difference is...
They're good at that.
Pretty good at that. They're professionals. They get paid. Again, Herb, you know, it's just like the strike zone people that you're already bashing, even though they don't have jobs. You know, they're professionals. They'll do their work. But Lucas Giolito was projected to get 10.8. His actual number is 10.4. Dylan Cease projected number was 5.3. His actual was 5.7. Ronaldo Lopez's projected number was 3.3. His actual number is 3.625. Michael Kopech was projected to get 2.2. His actual was 2.05. And Jose Ruiz was projected for $1 million, but they are bringing him back for $925,000. Anything interesting jumping out from arbitration numbers?
Not really.
Is it that Lucas Giolito and the White Sox came to an agreement because they didn't or had the little spat or minor spat last time?
Maybe. I don't know. You know, obviously those things are performance based. You know, when they do go to arbitration, those are performance based. And coming off of a number of years of really good performance, Lucas Giolito probably had a very nice case to get paid more. Not quite sure if that was the same situation after he had a disappointing year last year. But as me and Herb always point out, these numbers only go up. You don't get your salary decreased through arbitration usually. So, you know, it's not, I don't really think it's very interesting. It's right on the money of what those folks projected over there. And I don't really think it makes a big difference in terms of what the White Sox might do before opening day or not do.
Yeah. And looks Giolito's money is right where Brandon Woodruff's money is at. So he's getting paid where a better pitcher is listed, but as Vinny said, he couldn't go down. So, and there was no argument because he's like, "Yeah, man, I was terrible, and I'm not going to be asking for more money than the White Sox are offering because you know I didn't deserve that." But I guarantee that this year it's going to be motivated to make that number seem minuscule because this is Walker. He needs to have a solid year for him to establish himself as a top of the rotation pitcher, which will give him top of the rotation money. If not, he'll be in this $15 million area, and it'll be kind of weird because he's a better pitcher than that. I can see him being a top-of-the-rotation guy, but he didn't pitch like that last year. So 10-4 makes perfect sense for him. I just, like, I'm astounded by how much more money Dylan Cease makes this year than last year, and he's still getting underpaid. Like, I know it's a system, but it's a ridiculous system where – Dylan Cease finally gets $5 million, and I'm like, man, White Sox are getting away with robbery. But it's the system. Well, it's not the White Sox. It's MLB, right, but who has set up the system and these players who have agreed to it.
Think about Carlos Correa and this whole drama and everything. Like, Carlos Correa was the best player one of the best players in the 2017 Astros, and he was probably making like $900,000. And that's why this guy fought tooth and nail two different times to try to get $300 million from the Mets and Giants, and tried to get it last year from the Twins, and tried to take that bridge contract and just couldn't get it. And that's why, like, deals are so important when these guys become free agents. And that's why we just had a lockout, because these guys were trying to get the most amount of money for them performing when they're not getting paid. You're 100% right that Cease is getting underpaid. And it's not his fault. He can't really fight for anything higher than 5.7.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, it's like, I know these players are happy and they're, you know, have $5.6 million. Awesome. Anybody would want that. But it's just like, man, he just like almost like six, seven times his average salary from last year. Like, he went through the roof with that. and he's getting underpaid. Like he, like your boss said, hey man, you get a raise. It's awesome. And you get paid much more than you ever had in your life. And you're still like, man, I ain't going to accept nothing close to this when in a couple of years. Like if this is going to be per month type of salary in a couple of years for Dylan Cease.
Right. I mean, he might post a 6-war season this year and be making less than $1 million per war that he put up. And that's just absurd at this year being second in Cy Young. The one thing that I do want to bring
I would think for a pitcher, I would usually tell him, like, if the White Sox came to him and said, hey, man, let's do a deal what eats up a couple of your arb years, and then on the backside of your front side of your free agent years for a certain amount of money that is market value. I don't know if I tell him to take it because of how much money they're throwing at pitchers this time of day, this year, and how filthy his stuff is. I couldn't say, hey, Dylan, just go for those 2 more years of arbitration and get through free agency and then see on the other side. That has his health on the line. That has his actual stats on the line. Like, if the White Sox come to him with a nice deal as a pitcher, I might have to take it because, yeah, $5 million won't have to do it. I have to get paid somewhere close to market value to feel happy about going with the White Sox further.
So
I know he has 2 more years before after this.
Right. I'm happy you brought up agents because we know that Dylan obviously has made the switch over to Scott Boras, which seems like he will probably make a huge push for his free agent years. We'll obviously, you know, wait to be seen, or it's yet to be seen for that.
So many Cease puns at the winter meetings. Just so many.
I didn't see any like cringy ones. I didn't see any like super bad ones, which I'm happy about. Can you share any?
No, I mean upcoming.
The Brandon
Nimmo
one?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, Cease puns upcoming because, you know, Boris is always talking about the guys who are free agents in the moment. Yeah. I mean, I seem to remember somebody from the White Sox media contingent asking him about Carlos Rodon 1 year. And he was like, yeah, he's good. You know what I mean? Like, and he was not front burner business for Scott Boras at the time. Of course, now very much so this past offseason, but, we can only imagine the Cease puns that are going to be coming from Scott Boras once Dylan hits free agency.
I got real excited. I thought there was already some release, so that's why I was getting excited. But I'm glad you brought up
the poet already, so he'll write him.
Yeah, hey, I mean, he could probably, you know, sell those shirts and make more money than his actual salary. I do want to talk a little bit about the agent stuff, though, because obviously he made the switch to Scott Boras. We'll be getting all those puns, but in there is Michael Kopech, and his projected number was different than his final number. Where did I close that out? Anyways. Okay.
It was under.
It was under. I think he ended up at 2.05, but back on Jan 9th, Joel Sherman had some agent news where White Sox starter Michael Kopech left CAA to be represented by Headline Sports Group. Kopech is a first-time arbitration eligible this offseason, and obviously he was under the projected number. We don't know what the projected number lines up with the actual MLB number for what teams would have. That's just MLB trade rumors projection. But I think the interesting thing here, and thank you to Alex Rude for sharing this information with me or making this connection, Headline Sports Group does have another White Sox pitcher under its services, and that's Lance Lynn. And I think it's funny, after Lance Lynn's shutout against the Royals when he first made a start in guaranteed rate in 2021, a person that really took on from him was Michael Kopech. He said, you know, Lance was talking about attacking in the strike zone. This is when Michael was in the bullpen, and especially with guys on base, he was like, I talked to Lance and he was just like, you got to attack. So I think it's interesting now that they are teaming up, quote unquote, being the same agent. But the old agent of Michael Kopech was Ryan Hamill, who's also Lucas Giolito's agent, the same agent that shared the emphasis on Lucas hitting free agent. And obviously, you know, they had that whole spat between the arbitration. So I think it's very interesting that that was the guy that used to represent Lucas Giolito. And then also too, Lance Lynn made a change in his agent back on June 22nd, 2021. Lance Lynn hired Headline Sports Group, which is led by Kevin Lustig, and this is from John Heyman, to represent him. Headline is a new player agent since January 2020 in the sports agency field. Lynn is a free agent after the year. And then probably about less than a month on July 17th, Lance Lynn had a new extension. And the only two players that are under baseball representation for Headline Sports Group is Lance Lynn and Michael Kopech. So thank you for that digging there, Alex Rude. But I think it's interesting that his number is under that projected ARB, and he's making this agent change. Not saying Michael Kopech's going to sign an extension, but Herb, you brought up the Cease idea there where you're buying out ARB numbers. We've seen the White Sox do this with Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez. Is Michael Kopech next?
I would give every single starting pitcher the advice to sign close-to-market deal extensions before you hit free agency. I know people want to hit that 28, 29, whatever-year-old age, and then get 30 teams bidding on your services. But as a pitcher, as we've seen with Michael Kopech, as we've seen with the top pitchers, like, you're one pitch away from Tommy John. I mean, 38-year-old Verlander had Tommy John surgery, missed the whole year. Luckily, he already had money in the bank. But say if Michael Kopech goes out and pitches this year, as he often does, can't make it throughout the full season because of certain injuries. You know, that will subtract from his free agent dollars because now you're oft injured. Now, it didn't hurt necessarily Carlos Rodon and his free agent pursuits because he showed in his last year with the White Sox and the year he was with the Giants that he was healthy enough to pitch for a majority of the innings during the season and pitch at a high level. I would say that's a gamble, especially if you're oft injured like Carlos Rodon was. If they're coming to Michael Kopech or Dylan Cease with a decent deal that's going to get them to maybe 32, 33 on the other side, you get a nice MLB check, but still enough meat in the bone on the backside if you pitch well enough to go to free agency anyway, I would say Michael Kopech especially should sign an extension with the White Sox. Dylan Cease, I can understand if he doesn't because he projects to be top of the rotation pitcher by the time he hits there, and his injury history doesn't look too bad in the majors.
I mean, I don't know how realistic that is. I think, once you've come up to the major league level and established yourself as somebody who has a whole lot of talent and can do some stuff that most other people can't, it is just, when can I hit free agency? And I'm not saying that that is a selfish thing at all. That is exactly what you're supposed to be doing when you reach that level. I think we saw some of the deals we saw the White Sox sign some of those position players to because those guys had yet to prove themselves at the major league level. And someone said, all right, hey, you're a minor league baseball player. Here's a 8-year contract extension. They said, okay, thank you. There's once you get up there and you have a year, especially like the one that Dylan Cease just had, obviously we haven't seen quite that from Michael Kopech yet, but especially the year Dylan Cease had, I could see where you would want to hit free agency and get 30 teams bidding for your services right away. Listen, everything we hear from the White Sox is that this is just the start for Dylan Cease. If he thinks the same thing and his agents think the same thing and think they can convince other teams of the same thing, then it shouldn't be surprising if he hits free agency in a few years and scores a really big payday. And maybe that'll be from the White Sox or maybe another team, but we'll see how that goes. Obviously, that's a few years from now, but trying to convince guys not to go to free agency doesn't really sound like an easily won argument. We'll put it that way.
But maybe they don't want to have arbitration hearings. So Michael Kopech's got two more ARB years left. He'll be a free agent in 2026 at year age 30. So, you know, if he sees himself getting paid, you know, $2 million basically this year, and Dylan Cease after being second in Cy Young, and maybe there's something there for the last 2 years of his arbitration. But I'm with you too. I think Cease, especially with his ability, I mean, he's made basically every single start in his career, hasn't had too many injury issues. He's so focused on his yogi, the 84 methods or disciplines. I think he's really intact with his body. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cease definitely does hit free agency. But, we'll monitor those situations if they are even situations. We'll take another break here, and then we'll let you know a little bit more about Liam and his Legos. But we do want to let you know about ComEd. ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers a free facility assessments that can help find energy saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipments, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. and these can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they could start working on immediately, and each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. That's comed.com/poweringbiz. And if you're ready to sign up for a facility assessment, call us at 1-855-433-270 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Again, that's 1-855-433-2700. Also got to let you know about DraftKings Sportsbook. The playoff picture is locked in. Already had some games on Saturday, got some games on Sunday. There's a game on Monday as well. And my go-to place for wild card round action is DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off to the road to Super Bowl 57, new customers can just bet $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat bet each day of the wild card round this weekend. Just place an NFL bet of your choice, and if it loses, you'll get a free bet up to $10. Action so good. Why bet on the NFL playoffs anywhere else? You guys were watching the NFL playoffs on Saturday. I picked the Jags money line, and I wasn't sweating that one because they were down 27-0. I thought they were done, over, stopped paying attention. I checked my phone, and they won. So, hey, there you go. Sometimes you don't have to sweat it because NFL is weird. But download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code CHGO. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Final thing that I want to bring up here. This was in James Fegan's piece where he talked about Liam Hendricks. But he went basically through all of the charities, and we've talked about his charities recently in the past week. I had a thread on Twitter just kind of going through all the places Liam has been connected to. And one that James pointed out to me was Bricks of Hope. And this one is a non-for-profit organization. Liam and Christy, his wife, have donated over 96 Lego sets to Bricks of Hope. It's a Lake Zurich organization, and Bricks of Hope was launched in December of 2021. And their story started over 20 years ago when their executive director, Adam, was diagnosed with leukemia. So I think, you know, his idea is to connect Lego sets with sick children in the hospital. So it's very fantastic. And now that Liam is going through this himself, you know, our immediate thought was hopefully Liam's consoling himself, or, you know, he's able to help himself with Lego sets. And of course he's doing something to help kids with that as well. You know, like, and that's before his illness, and that's just the type of person that he is. Not really surprised that he's involved with an organization like this. So I did just want to share it just because who doesn't have a connection to Legos? You know, I know I definitely do. So shout out to Bricks of Hope. And obviously if there's more information about Liam or anything else, we'll pass that along. But any final thoughts here before we wrap this up, gentlemen?
What was your favorite Lego set when you were a kid?
Ooh. There was a fire station one that I remember building with my dad. So I'll probably say that one. I do have regret. There was a Star Wars one that's still in my mom's closet that I've never built. And I just feel guilty that I
bust it out.
Yeah. You know, maybe, I don't know. I'd have to drive to the South Side.
It's worth it, I think, for a nice day of Lego building fun here when it's 20 degrees outside.
Hey, it's the off season. Maybe I could do it live on camera. Instead of using my camera, I could build a Lego set while you guys talk. Maybe that's an episode. Probably not.
Or maybe, yeah, just do it a different time.
Just show it off.
Yeah. One Christmas, when I was a kid, I got all three. Well, I mean, there's more than three, but three pod racers from Star Wars Episode One. Put those all together. You had the whole collection there. Oh, that was fun. Yeah. I dropped one of them going down the stairs, I think, at one point, which is very disappointing.
That is not pod racing.
Never was a Lego guy. My cousin Marcus was, so I would go over his house and play Legos, but they would already be built. So we would just play, you know, I would do the aftermath. So things like the pod racer, things like Star Wars stuff, which I still didn't see the movie. I understood what was going on, and my cousin would fill me in on things that would be going on. Still no interest. A kid was a dick, though. He's like, I'm going to stick to my guns. Never watch Star Wars. 44 years later, still there.
We're gonna pin you down and make you watch one of them at some point.
Seriously, just watch the damn movie.
Like the Kubrick movie? Was it? What's the
we're gonna peel your eyes open and make you shotgun 9 Star Wars movies in a row.
Clockwork Orange, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. I still can't believe you haven't just watched 4 through 6. You don't actually have to watch any of the pod racing one. You could skip that one. You could skip the new ones. Just watch the ones with the older people. You'll like it. All right. It's the people of your era, old man.
Okay. I did like Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is good.
See, and now you'll get if you watch it, then you'll get the jokes.
But even then, Spaceballs is better than Star Wars.
I mean, in my opinion,
I would agree. I agree with that.
I'm the only person who believes in that.
No, I don't have any basis for that opinion.
I'm sorry, Vinny. Oh yeah, sorry, Vinny. Sean's the only one who can say that and actually truly mean it.
That's Herb Lawrence. Mel Brooks probably does. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at Eknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. That's Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. This could be potentially a big week for us, so make sure you're tuned all throughout this week at 4 p.m. We'll be back on Monday, but we'll be with you at 4 p.m. on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel for our CHGO White Sox live show. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson, and we will talk to you on Monday. Go Sox.